Thank you very much, Tom. Can I also take this opportunity to welcome everyone to this year's conference? It's great to see you all, so many familiar faces and indeed new members alike, and all very active. It's been great to listen to the number of younger members outlining the party's five commitments that were launched in April of this year. Can I also take this opportunity to digress a little bit from my speech and congratulate our minister on an excellent speech today and the way in which this party is putting forward and putting Northern Ireland first and the way in which he is doing that. And not only is he doing it at home, he's going abroad and he's going to Europe and he's taking on board new ideas that all those people have tried out and bringing them back to strengthen the province of Northern Ireland. Well done, Danny. These next 7 months running up to the election will be an opportunity to raise the banner for our party, which has for over 100 years represented the people of Northern Ireland. And today I want to talk about the Ulster Unionist Party's future in Europe. We are a party that has the benefit of hindsight and of foresight, the party with experience and inspiration. And most importantly, we are the party that is doing what is right for Northern Ireland. Doing what is right for Northern Ireland, this has been my priority since going to the European Parliament in 1989. Conference, I also know that this commitment reflects what drives you all on a daily basis too, be it in the Assembly, the council chambers, associations or community groups across the province. You are all, in your own way, doing what's right for Northern Ireland. 2013 has been a turbulent year for the European Union. The Eurozone, our largest export market, is very weak. The battle against European integration looms large in the corridors of power in Brussels. And we have yet to finalise the legislation on the European Union's budget for the next 6 years. That means, ladies and gentlemen, we have a bucket load of money to spend and no legal basis in which to do it. That's the harsh reality. So is it any wonder that everyone wants a referendum and to get some clarity, and it is on the table at this moment? And while I don't want to dwell too much on the in and out debate today, I will say this. In Europe, as in any case in any walk of life, if you're not in, you can't win. Be in no doubt of this. If a member state stands on ceremony or refuses to be present at the negotiating table in Europe, then it will lose its seat, its subsidies and its influence above all else. Recently, the Germans changed the draft environmental laws on emissions to protect their car manufacturers, which no doubt went a long way to helping Angela Merkel get re-elected last month. And the French, well, there's always a good story or two about the French. President Hollande threatened to derail the most important trade negotiations to ever take place between the US and the EU. These negotiations worth billions to both economies were almost thwarted because just to protect their film and a television industry. Fellow unionists, my work as a lead negotiator on the common agriculture policy threw up plenty of protectionist proposals. There was even an MEP trying to get support for rabbit farmers included within the new package. But conference, I can understand their intentions. They want to do what is right for their constituency, just as I want to do what is right for Northern Ireland and make sure they didn't get what they wanted. Although we in Northern Ireland are a small region of the EU, it is vital that we are well represented in the European Parliament, especially as MEPs now have real power to influence legislation. As the MEP for Northern Ireland, my job is to make sure that your voice is heard when the decisions are being made, to ensure that local businesses are reaping the benefits of the single market, to ensure that community groups can access the funding necessary to provide valuable service to their communities. Well, it was working to secure the first peace programme in the 1990s, and I am pleased to say Peace 4 has now been secured for the next 5-6 years, or highlighting the particular needs of Northern Ireland's farmers in the recent negotiations on the future of the CAP. I have long seen the importance of getting on with the job, building alliances with the Parliament, fighting to get the best possible deal for everyone in Northern Ireland. Believe me, given the agenda of some of those involved in the CAP negotiations, the outcome would have been much, much worse. The package would have been totally unworkable at farm level, the farmers totally tied up with red tape, and government spending even more of their money on administration and less on food produced at a time when food security should be our top priority. Using my working relationships and position as Agriculture Coordinator of the ECR Group, I helped secure the best possible outcome for Northern Ireland. Ladies and gentlemen, my report card in the Europe speaks for itself. I have a strong track record on getting things done. I have also been working with colleagues to ensure that the new funding package for research and innovation, Horizon 2020, worth over $70 billion, recognises the particular needs of micro businesses, which are crucial part of the Northern Ireland economy. Red tape must be reduced to help speed the rate of money getting out to the businesses and the universities. These are just a few examples of the work recently signed off in Brussels, which will bring about benefits in the future. It's also very satisfying to see previous work bearing fruit. Only last week I welcomed Malcolm Harbour, MEP, one of my colleagues from the ECR group, to Northern Ireland. Malcolm chairs a committee which has real impact on businesses and consumers. Along with Danny Kinahan, we visited Schrader Electronics, which is headquartered in Antrim and has also a large workforce in Carrickfergus, and is a world leader in supplying car companies across the globe. This is a perfect example of Northern Ireland innovation at its best, making the most of the single market. The expansion at that site has been rapid in recent years, now employing 1,200 people, and the result, a thriving company providing good jobs, exporting globally, investing in research, and contributing to the economy. I have worked closely with this company and others as I regularly consult with businesses to help improve legislation being developed in Brussels. Looking to the future, I can reveal today that I have been selected by the Agriculture Committee to be their rapporteur on the EU-US trade agreement. That means, conference, that Northern Ireland will have an MEP leading the committee's response to that are the crucial talks which will have wide-ranging implications for our region and for the whole of the EU in the next 2 or 3 years. I know from experience that bureaucrats in Brussels do not always know best, and I welcome that President Barroso has recognised the fact that Brussels should not meddle in every aspect of our daily lives. I have consistently highlighted the burden of unnecessary regulations, and I welcome the pledge to reduce red tape. I will carefully study President Barroso's full proposals when they are published next week. He will be judged by the whole of Europe, and I will hold him to account. But Stormont departments must realise that how they interpret and implement EU directives can make a crucial difference also. Gold plating by our government increases the burden on our businesses, on our province, throughout the whole of Northern Ireland. For my part, I will continue to do everything possible to reduce the burden of red tape and unnecessary bureaucracy, flagging up its potential negative impact on our day-to-day lives. We're all aware of the costs associated with being in the EU. What is less discussed are the benefits, particularly those which come from accessing the single market. A recent survey of manufacturers across the UK suggests that support for our continued membership of the EU remains strong in the manufacturing industry. And Hitachi and Nissan, two big companies in mainland UK, have already reiterated their warnings against the UK withdrawing from the single market. So yes, we must seek to reform and fully engage in the debate about our relationship within the European Union. But this debate must properly weigh up all the positives and the negatives of remaining a member of Europe. There is too much at stake for simple knee-jerk reaction. The debate leading to a referendum must therefore be centred on facts, not fiction. In the meantime, my focus will continue to ensure that Northern Ireland's voice is heard in Europe. Whilst we as Ulster Unionists work for the benefit of Northern Ireland, there are others who seek to pursue party interests above all else. The opposition of Sinn Féin and the SDLP to the National Crime Agency being fully operational in Northern Ireland is one such case and example. As coordinator in the European Parliament Special Committee on Crime, I have serious concerns that this opposition fails to recognise the very real human cost of organised crime. And we in Northern Ireland know about this. The facts are clear. Organised crime is a highly sophisticated, professional, global network with the ability to exploit advances in technology. Cybersecurity is a huge issue for all governments in Europe today. Organised criminals locate and exploit gaps wherever they exist. The job of politicians is to put in place the framework to disrupt their activities at every turn, and that's what we're trying to do, because corruption and crime goes way beyond our shores. Sinn Féin and the SDLP have failed spectacularly on this issue. Let me say also the carve-up regarding RPA and the power grab by the DUP and Sinn Féin in the planning bill and the crusade by Sinn Féin Education Minister on education, including his assault on the Dixon Plan, are other examples of party first and Northern Ireland second. The people of Northern Ireland, I think, deserve an awful lot better than this. In the past few weeks, it's been confirmed that the peace funding earmarked for the proposed centre at the Maze has officially been withdrawn. While I welcome the DUP's U-turn, which was long overdue, I consistently opposed the use of peace funding for this project. Having fought for and secured the creation of the peace programme, I can tell you that it was never intended for building a shrine to terrorism on the Maze site. Of that you can be certain. I warned about the consequences of using peace funding for such a project. Yet when the decision was made, none of the then MEPs were even consulted. But I want to pay tribute to those who have now helped to bring an end to the project of this toxic site. I want to acknowledge the range of groups and organisations, especially those representing the many innocent victims and survivors of terrorism, for campaigning with such dignity. I must also, and I want really to recognise at this conference today, the work of our own party representatives, the leadership of Mike Nesbitt, and the work of Justice Spokesman Tom Elliott was tantamount to this achievement coming about. Thank you both. But let me also make it clear, I will endeavour to ensure that the £18 million earmarked for the Maze site will not be lost to the people of Northern Ireland. It will be spent in Northern Ireland over the next 2 years. Most importantly, the halting of this project will prevent further distress being inflicted on those who have suffered the most. I continue to work closely with a range of groups who represent the interests of innocent victims of terrorism. To me, it is clear more needs to be done and to address their needs. They deserve much better, and that is one of our commitments. Innocent victims should not have to endure parades glorifying terrorism in their towns or plaques erected commemorating those who died while murdering innocent people. They don't deserve to have truth and justice denied to them. Crucially, they don't deserve to be equated with those who set out to murder and maim. Terrorists are not victims. We must address this issue and do right by those who have already suffered the most. Conference, let me finish by saying this. In Europe, whether it's in Europe, Westminster, the Assembly, in our council chambers, there is a clear need to have a strong Ulster Unionist voice at the heart of decision making. This is why next year is so important for this party and for Northern Ireland. Europe is growing. There are more people, 28 member states, more people than ever seeking their fair share of an ever-increasing smaller pot. Northern Ireland needs an MEP with a strong voice that is heard and listened to in Europe. I am that voice. Northern Ireland needs an MP who knows how Brussels works, with working relationships with other MEPs, commissioners, ministers and officials, and has a track record of getting results for the people of Northern Ireland. I have that record. I am that person. I have built... I have built up experience and networks in Brussels. With your help, I will continue to draw upon these to fight for the best deal possible for Northern Ireland. It is also vital that we maximise our influence at council level, and I look forward to working with council candidates as we strive to ensure we maximise Ulster Unionist representation in the council chambers across Northern Ireland. We have our work cut out for us in the months to come ahead. Of that there is no doubt, but I am ready for the battle. And remember, I was the first unionist elected in 2009. Next year, not only am I going to be the first unionist elected, but I am going to be the first MEP elected. It's a good, strong challenge, a huge challenge, but I know we can do it. I know you're up for it. So let us go forward as a strong, united Ulster Unionist Party, working to be the party of choice as we strive to do what's right for Northern Ireland. I thank you all, each and every one of you, for your continued support down the years, and I look forward to working with you all and seeing you in the months ahead. Thank you very much indeed.